That's the Soweto String Quartet with Imbube, they call it. We kind of know that song as Wimbube, but the South Africans call it Imbube. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. It is Tuesday, June the 18th, and we continue our discussion from yesterday on this matter of the self-assigned guardian of the planet, Mr. Edward Snowden, who, of course, is now claiming. Well, let me describe to you. Let me read the description of his, the reporters of for The Guardian said, the individual responsible for one of the most significant leaks in U.S. political history is Edward Snowden. Of course, it's kind of offensive to read that because it's not a contest. You know, we don't, this is not a contest to find out who could leak more stuff than other people. But of course, it's written in that way, and it gives away the intent to associate oneself with something extraordinary if they have the exclusive story. This is the way they started out the story. The individual responsible for the most significant leaks in U.S. history. Therefore, you know, having written their own little PR there in that paragraph, and this is a kind of, this is what journalism has come to in some cases. You know, people have very few standards, and the organizations that they work for are more interested in the monetary value that this kind of stuff could bring. So they would tend only to pay attention to one thing, and that is, to what degree is the reporting going to make them legally liable? They don't care about the journalistic standards. They care about whether the reporting is going to expose them in any way to legal liability and legal action. So in the midst of all of that, you find that the attention to the details, the attention to journalistic standards is not a priority. What is a priority is that they can, with this, quote, exclusive, they have a marketable product. And those associated with the marketable product are busy marketing themselves. They are now considered the new generation of Woodward and Bernstein, the people who broke the Watergate story. And that, too, ought to translate to some kind of a hefty financial reward, speaking engagements, television interviews, and, you know, it looks really nice on the resume that they broke the story of the individual responsible for the biggest classified leaks in U.S. history. And for that, it doesn't matter what kind of disruption is caused. It doesn't matter what wreckage they incur, cause the system to incur. It's just a matter for them. It's just an experience, and then they move on, you know. So we will continue with this discussion today. I have some very strong opinions about, you know, people leaking stuff. I mean, I can understand. I do understand that it can, in some cases, be a very significant expression of a profound disagreement with government. But you see, when people do these things in singular action, it becomes as offensive as the thing that they're fighting. Why should I feel comfortable about this guy Snowden, who I don't know and who is showing all the signs that, you know, of a person who worries me, it troubles me, that this guy had access to this kind of material? And yet we have to deal with the singular decision. One person, well, of course, you know, I strongly suspect it wasn't just him, it was somebody else as well. But the fact that this individual could do something that has incredible impact. They just rip things apart because they feel like it. They're convinced that, you know, something has ordained them, and they don't understand how despotic that is. They're not operating democratically. They didn't take a poll to find out whether people would want him to do this. They take this kind of summary action, and they assign themselves as the saviors of the people. And it is now the people's job to come in behind them and clean up their mess and deal with the fallout and the consequences. They just drop the bombs and they just keep moving. You know, they just tear things up and they keep moving because they incur no real damage. They get to be known in a perverted way as heroes. This guy is not a hero. And the fact that there's been this automatic response to people like this, I mean, who is this guy? What are his credentials? What makes him the person to decide that this is what he ought to do, and we ought to be satisfied that he's doing this in our name? You know, there are psychological terms for these kinds of disorders. But that falls within the purview of the mentality that is part of a race-based culture where people who understand themselves to belong to the class of the powerful, they feel extremely comfortable and very confident in taking actions that they don't need any sanction for. They don't need permission to act. I'm reminded of a shareholders meeting that occurred, I believe, just in May, late May or so. The shareholders meeting for McDonald's. And the president and CEO is an African-American man. And, of course, there came a point in this shareholders meeting where, you know, comments from the public are invited. And this 9-year-old girl gets up and she makes a speech. And she pretty much dresses him down about the fact that as president and CEO, does he not understand that he has an obligation to sell nutritious food to children? And everybody thought it was just the cutest thing. She was such a bright and precocious little girl, and so confident, and she spoke so well, and she basically communicated perfectly, and all of that. And out the window, nobody said how absolutely rude that was, how out of place that was. What that suggested was some parent somewhere planning a kind of surprise. My bright little kid is going to take the attention a bit at the shareholders meeting. I'm going to showcase how brilliant she is, and I will use a shareholders meeting for my narrow purpose of promoting how brilliant my 9-year-old is. Now, that's offensive. I don't care how brilliant your 9-year-old child is. The mere fact that they can do that is informed in large measure by the fact that this 9-year-old kid is a little white kid. The president and CEO is an African-American man. And there, in that moment, when she is speaking to the head of a company, whatever it is that she feels that she needed to communicate, the power equation, the assumption is that that 9-year-old is not only as powerful as, but is more powerful than, because the 9-year-old is utilizing that moment to instruct the president and CEO of a multinational corporation. Now, he was kind of graceful and whatnot, and he responded, but that was so out of order. And nobody, you know, people would have a rough time understanding that. It's just like this guy Snowden. He's completely out of order. I understand when people are imbued with a sense of protest and purpose, and they have a history, and they have an investment in a struggle, and therefore they have people to whom they are accountable, and they have a consensus of opinion that drives and informs their actions. I understand that. But this is not this guy. And we get this a lot, especially among people who would say they are progressive and what. They act like enfant terrible. They're having a big temper tantrum. They destroy whatever it is they want to destroy. And then your job is to come in and clean it up. And they walk away having achieved their specific narrow aims and objectives. And they're so deluded, they'll try to explain to people, I'm doing this for you. And so now, your job is to support somebody you don't know. This guy might be one heck of a wing nut for all you know. And people are now supposed to take on the responsibility of supporting that kind of action. But I raised this question within, I started it yesterday, to raise this question within the historic social structures and models in the United States, which is race-based, and therefore the power equation is also race-based. This young man, in his own head, his own, and I would insist, there's a problem there. There is a problem with this young man that requires, I think, some intense psychiatric counseling. But when the president is a black guy, you don't have to observe protocols. You are a hired hand, okay? You're a freelancer. And you are a hired hand on contract with a bunch of firms who, if they need you from time to time, call you. You're not even a permanent part of this structure. You're not an employee. And if you had any integrity, and this is what we need to understand, if this guy had any integrity at all, he would, A, be able to tell us a history of involvement. I'm not concerned about his spiritual devolution and evolution. I don't care about his coming of age and experiencing this epiphany about how evil the empire is. I care very much about somebody so completely deluded as to think that he can do whatever he wants to do. And there will be people there to back him up, because why? He has taken action against a government. And the word government means bad, and he has done something. Now, never mind whether it is actually called for, never mind that it is not sanctioned by anybody, never mind that he is a loose cannon operating on his own, never mind that, in fact, he is wrong. How about that? He is wrong. And the reporters seizing upon this topic are interested only in making sure, with the lawyers at their respective news media outlets, that they have a legally defensible case. Because if you read the stories, there is no independent corroboration of any document that he has handed them, of any information that he has handed them. They're not in a position to verify it. They're not in a position to make sure that this is the authentic stuff. And they report it, and now they become the issue. And globally, this is what I mean. These are the people. These are the enlightened people. These are the liberals and the progressives behaving like this. Accountable to nobody. And at the bottom line, completely narcissistic. They're interested in themselves. The reporters want glory for having broken the story, and they're associated with this monumental, major achievement of the greatest leaks. Now, they could call it leaks if they want. Now, I, as you know, I am not, as I said, I'm not a card-carrying member of the Barack Obama fan club. But this is out of order. And people should step up and say, this is out of order. You're wrong. You're out of order to do this. But there is this thing. When a person of color is in a leadership position, everybody instantly knows how to do that person's job. Nobody could go tell Edward Snowden how to do his job. The idea is you can trust that I'm a brilliant person. You can trust that I have knowledge. You can trust that I have superlative skills. But they know how to do everybody else's job. This guy actually has placed himself as the person who knows how to be president of the United States, what's good and what's not good for the country. He has placed himself as literally a dictator of the United States. He is designing and defining what matters. Just one guy. And that's what we need to understand about this notion of white supremacy. That somebody, this clearly stymied person, emotionally stymied person, at 29 years old, having racked up a series of failures up until now, inconsistencies in his story don't matter. But he is completely convinced, just like that 9-year-old girl who was completely, and her mother, and the people in the room, who thought it was appropriate for a 9-year-old to basically lecture the president and CEO of a company, and acting in that instant not as his equal but as his superior. They don't get that. They're not sophisticated enough to understand that. And that is why the progressive community has a level of racism within it that it refuses to deal with. It refuses to recognize it. It refuses to address it. This guy comes from wherever the heck he comes from, finishing nothing in his life, having a better than normal understanding, better than average understanding about computers and coding and whatever else. And in that regard is no different from any other person out there who has similar skills. But he has convinced himself that he is far more important, far more powerful than even the leader of a democratically elected leader of a nation. And again, I'm not here cheerleading for Barack Obama. I'm saying this is the fact. And we have to understand that. That is what it is. The implicit understanding, the credo that he's following, this person, Mr. Snowden, the credo that he is following is, as I am, unfinished academically, a less than spectacular background about anything in his life, as I am, substandard as I am, I'm nonetheless equal, if not more important than, because I'm now more important than, because I can bring down an entire country. I can make life really hard for a whole order that was carefully constructed to safeguard a country. I could do that whenever I want, however I want. It's the same thing with this guy. I suppose he admires Assange, Julian Assange, the other leaker, monumental leaker. Okay, so you're brilliant and you know computers and whatnot, but he takes upon himself as a, you know, nobody is there. There are no checks and balances that apply to them. They know about all the checks and balances that apply to everybody else. They know that. They know how to do the job, how to run the planet, how to run the universe. They're far more brilliant than everybody on the planet. But in the meantime, you say, well, wait a minute. You have some charges pending against you for sexual assault. What's with that? Oh, that's not important. And all of the progressive people, all of the liberals surround this guy, including the women. The women who are for women power and they're for, you know, the women's rights and equal rights and whatnot, conveniently set aside the fact that there are these things pending that should be addressed and he should be accountable for that. They say, no, we expunge that, we forgive that. So the hypocrisy is unbelievable. Unbelievable. I've gone through this experience several times. You're doing your job. There are people who have very narrow agendas. It's all about them. And they think the entire world is at their service to do whatever they wish to do with whenever they want to do it. And they are universally indulged in this psychotic behavior. They get away with it. So I'm interested in your reactions. I got quite a bit of that yesterday. But, you know, we have to be brave enough. We've got to be brave enough to see what it is I'm talking about here. I'm sure this Mr. Snowden would swear to the high heavens there isn't a racist bone in his body. And yet his actions reek of it. And people are surrounding him and applauding him and doing all of this. And nobody said, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute here. What exactly is your structure? Whose interests are you representing here? Why should anybody care about you? You didn't ask permission to do this. You didn't ask for a vote. You didn't ask for consensus. Who the heck are you? Who do you work for? How do we know that you're not working for about five different countries? How do we know that you're not an infiltrator? How do we know that you actually are sane? But because it is viewed as, quote, anti-government, unquote, and the call is anything anti-government should be supported because, hey, that's what we're all about. No, that's not what we're all about. I'm not about that. These nutcases show up and create all kinds of havoc, untold damage, and they just walk away, la-di-da. Because that's what part of being white in America is all about. You have the power to do things that other people can't even envision doing because it is just so wrong. I go back to that case with this 9-year-old girl. She has a parent, probably two. And you can't but understand that there has to be some kind of coaching going on there. She's learning at 9 years old. Not that she's capable of forming opinions and so forth. She is learning at 9 years old a very seminal truth about racism in this country. And that is a 9-year-old can stand up and order and speak to a grown black man running a multinational company making billions of dollars means nothing to her. She's at least on equal footing with him, but certainly superior enough to be able to lecture him in front of all of these shareholders. Now, people are very polite. They're very polite. But this guy, Snowden, is no hero in my book. Michael from New York, you're on the air. By the way, it's 888-874-4888. Thank you. Michael?
Hi, yeah, Utrecht. I was wondering, was it Snowden you said?
Yes.
And the 9-year-old girl, did you get that on YouTube?
No. It was on the news.
So this was on the news?
Yeah, this young girl, and, you know, she was just adorable. She was just an adorable girl in a nice little dress and everything. But the lesson there, as I said, you know, I can understand brilliant children and so forth, but that's not what was going on there. And you have to, if you disassemble things and you see what the implied notion is, you get that message right away. In most cultures, that would be considered beyond rude. And she and her parents would be running out of that room crying. Because they would tell her, you know, how to comport yourself and how to recognize your space, how to recognize where you are and how you are to behave. Like this guy, you're an employee. You're not even a permanent employee. You're a hired hand. And you come in, and because you have gone through a personal transformation or epiphany, that entitles you to break any damn thing up that you want to. And walk away and leave everything in shambles. And people are supposed to say, yeah, man, you know, he was anti-government. Yeah, he really put the administration on point. The guy might be a raving lunatic for all we know. Thank you, Michael. Sarah, hello, you're on the air.
Hey, greetings to you, Utrecht.
Thank you.
Well, you see, I am so glad that you mentioned it, because I was getting into disputes with people because I said the same thing. Because when I read that piece by Glenn Greenwald, I said this young man sounded like a disgruntled employee who did not get maybe a pay raise, a corner office, an assignment of choice, and he decided to run off and, you know, so-called squeal. He did not tell anything, as you laid out in the case yesterday and in today, that was so profound. We look at people like Frank Willis. Most people don't even remember who Frank Willis was, the black security guard at Watergate.
Mm-hmm.
Look how he was treated. This man could not get a job. He died destitute, broke, because everyone pointed against him because of what he did in taking down on Richard Nixon. So what this Snowden character has done, and what he you know, it's not anything new. This is not profound. And I'm getting tired of hearing people like Democracy Now, because I know you and Amy Goodman, and we're not going to mention her name much on this program, but they have been touting this story and, you know, calling it a hero, as you said, with the progressives. And I've told people this over and over again. The progressives are some of the most racist bunch running around here, that we like to think they are our friends because they include us in their barbecues and they laugh with us, that they are such great people. But the Democrats would hang you on the lowest branch of a tree while the Republican would get the high branch. They're still going to hang you. But we always get ourselves confused.
Well, my point is this. We have the situation, and we ought to be looking at it very soberly. The automatic dispensation that this man is getting, without anybody asking some very important questions here, it's amazing to me that people would automatically fall in line and get, yeah, he's a hero. He's not a hero. He might be in need of very serious psychological counseling. But he's not a hero of mine at all.
No, he's not, Eutrice, because I read in that article that Glenn Greenwald wrote that he had some kind of seizures or something he was having. So it sounds to me as if though he was about to either be terminated because of some medical problems that he has, and he sees this as this opportunity to perhaps get a jump on things and run off and possibly try and make some money for himself, as a lot of people do with these so-called, you know, whistleblower, try and maybe get that whistleblower fund that is out here that people get for whistleblowing. That is what it sounds like that he was trying to do.
But this is not a whistleblower.
I know
this is a predator. This is a guy who comes in and tries to figure out, now what can I do to bring real extraordinary attention to myself and my cause as I experience this great epiphany about how bright I am and how wrong the whole world is. And
exactly.
You notice the reluctance to ask questions about this guy. You know, what is his history? Things are not lining up, and still they're defending him.
Exactly, you Teresa, because I said the same thing, because it's like they don't want to question him, because if they go further, it might blow this whole scenario that they have built up out here about this guy being such a great human being. They would start seeing holes start showing up in his story. As you said, it is not adding up. They are trying to push him as far as they can, but he is just a person that did not, like you said, he's narcissistic.
Yeah, he's not, there's nothing about this young man that suggests that he is extraordinary in any way. He's an average schmo who has lucked into a really good job as a person without a high school diploma or a college degree. So, he had a really good. And that, too, is part of the benefit of having white skin in this country. Which black person, which Latino do you know can walk into somebody's company and say, look, you know, I don't have a high school diploma or a college degree, but that job that you have there for $122,000, give it to me, please. I think I deserve it. And they'll get it. the world that they live in is just so unbelievably different from the way people are experiencing it on the other side. Thanks, Sarah, for calling. Good to hear
from
you.
You're so welcome, Eutrice.
Thank you. 888-874-4888. Mike from New Jersey.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hello.
You know, I listen to you a lot, and I do respect you, so please bear with me. But I am confused. I'm a black guy, but I don't see this as attacking a black man, attacking the administration, attacking Obama. I see it as a person who, and even if you don't have a college degree and you're able to take a GED and stuff, worked their way up and discovered some wrongdoing. For what I've been seeing, you've been attacking the messenger and forgetting the message. Now, I read a little bit about computers, and the amount of information that they're accumulating is out of control. The President Obama said that there are safeguards against the government using this information incorrectly, and that may all well be true. But he has never said anything about how private corporations use this information, and I believe that's out of control. So I disagree with you totally. I don't see it as a black and white thing. In fact, no. Look, I'm black, and I've been a Republican. I worked on Nassau County. I've had my share of the white establishment telling me a whole lot of stuff. But I think this is a little bit different because this affects everybody, black and white, and most likely it's going to affect black people and minorities worse than it affects white. And yes, maybe white people have a privileged situation in this world, but that's only because we support the administration who does this. I'm under the impression that President Obama has continued virtually every one of George Bush Jr.'s programs, warrantless wiretapping, the wars, Guantanamo. He's continued doing everything Bush does, says. If anybody was a worker, it seems like President Obama was working for the Bush administration, the Carlyle Group, whatever. I'm just saying that I feel bad because listening to you, and I listen to you a lot, you know, it says that to me, you know, you're stuck on this thing where you're a woman, no offense, and where I'm going, no offense, but women, especially black women, love Obama. He has that charisma. And no matter how bad you get persecuted, women support him. No matter how against their own interests it is, women support him. And I think this is what a lot of people are getting caught up in. I think this guy Snowden put everything, his whole life, on the line. He's going to pay for it incredibly. But every time that I look at my Verizon internet connection or use my phone, I know that this information is being tapped. Anytime they want to come after me, they can just get all this stuff together and say, I'm an enemy of the state because I don't like oppression, because I don't like discrimination. And I think this is really what's going on here.
All right. Okay. I understand your point of view, and I respect it. Here's what it is I mean. We see things, or we tend to see things as separate and discrete activities or events. But when you look at it in appropriate context, you understand the true meaning of it. Even if people don't recognize it, you understand the true meaning of it. And even if they don't recognize it, you get it. Because you are interpreting a reality in a whole different way. You have a comprehensive view. And that is perhaps one of the factors that I automatically put into things that most people don't. I see things, and I talk about it right here on the program. You have to see things. You look at things that are not shown. You listen to things that are not said. And you understand the true meaning of everything. Now, when I said this is about race, everything in America, in some way or the other, somehow or the other, you will find it. The road leads to race. Okay. What I mean is, when you understand this man's action, when you understand his action, you can see again that in his own head, this may just be a natural kind of act for him, because this is the way he has ruled his world. In his world, he doesn't have to think about black people as a consequence of his action. He doesn't have to regard the president, because he's working for the president. The NSA is the Obama administration. And he's so sincere, I don't hear that he has turned back a penny of the blood money, the awful money that he has earned. I don't hear that he has put his house up for, you know, to be a group home for anybody, that he's that socially conscious. I heard about a guy who, for whatever reason, this epiphany that he went through that caused him to see that he is seeing the world correctly.
Do you think he, it was a
there
thing
is, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, Mike.
I'm sorry.
This guy leaves no room. There is no doubt in his mind.
I don't think that I could put myself inside his brain.
Well, I can tell you. I will put myself
in his brain. But hold on a second.
I listen to you. I listen
to
you.
To America.
But I listen to you.
Is this NSA program harmful to America?
Mike, I listen to you.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
You can listen to me. No. We're both passionate. I like that. The thing is, how I know that this guy is absolutely convinced that he's correct is that he has full control. He controlled the media. He controlled the story. He controlled who he talked to. He controlled when the stories come out. He controlled what is said about him. He laid down conditions. He's in control. This is a person who has been taught, even in whatever state of development that he is in, he knows that he has power. He has the power to affect lives. And not one instance has he said, you know, he's possibly wrong. This is the thing that bugs me. Not in one instance has he even given a suggestion that he may have been wrong about something. And the people who are backing him are saying, that's right, that's right, that's right. The guy is right. He happens to be wrong. And that was my program yesterday. There are holes in his story. There are holes in the so-called facts. The reporting is shoddy. So there are holes, there are lots of things that are falling apart. All of the assertions that he made about how the Google and Facebook are allowing the government to plow into their servers, wrong, wrong. How billions of bytes of information are circling and the government has control, wrong.
Let me pose a scenario to you.
No, don't pose scenarios. Tell me, deal with the facts. Deal with the facts.
This is a fact. We've known for a long time that they've been tapping into these servers. This is not the first time.
The servers, all I know is this. You can't say you know for a long time. The people who are the CEOs of the companies are saying this is wrong. They are wrong.
They're covering their tracks on this.
You can't say that. Look. You can't say that because you don't know. You don't have proof of it.
This has already been documented many times before
by
it
who?
Even came out.
By who?
God, you know, if
by
I call
who?
Back tomorrow, I'll have the evidence.
No. All we know is in this situation, okay, let us confine ourselves to the situation at hand. In this particular situation, we do know that the CEOs of all of these companies that were said to be giving the government unfettered access to the servers, every single one of them not only has said this is so wrong, they have actually asked permission to show what is actually classified. So I would say you will have to go with that.
The national security letters also. I appreciate the time. I'm not going to, you know, this
thank you, Mike.
Nothing.
Thank you so much for calling. Thank you. Bill from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air, Bill.
Dietrich.
Mm-hmm.
Dietrich.
Yes?
I've never heard you like this. But honestly, you sound like a hack, and I wonder who you are putting. Maybe you have to take care of
that. I sound like whom? Hello? Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe he's self-imploded. Mario from New York, you're on the air. Hello? Ah, is he there? Somebody should be there. I see the... Okay, 888-874-4888. Hello, Mario, are you there? No, he's still not hearing him.
Yes, how are you?
Oh, fine, thank you.
How
yes.
are you? I spoke fine. With you before, and I say, how are you, my sister? And I'm white.
That's great.
I love you.
That's
hey. I spoke to you before, but I am a little befuddled by the angst that is going into this conversation. First, let me say, in the year 2000, when they had the conference in Rio on the green, all the nations showed up, there was a little girl who came, and she's now 33 years old, and did the same thing in front of that conference and blamed and castigated all the attendees. How could they do this to her world? So in that reference, this happened before, a little girl standing in front of a platform, public place, and she castigated the members. That they're not doing anything about what is happening to the environment. So I don't know if she's taking it out on the Japanese or the Ugandans or everybody who's polluting the earth. I was not at the meeting of the person who runs McDonald's, and I don't know how to categorize that. I find that you are a very balanced person. I every time I speak with you, I am or I hear you leading people down a logical course of discussion. Here it seems that there is a personal issue, and I don't mean to be a therapist, but it seems you are very touchy about this, and I won't tell you what my view is on this. But Michael in New Jersey, I agree with him. I think that. I don't know. What do you think of Daniel Ellsberg on the other hand? Was he not also?
Well, you know, Daniel Ellsberg had a history of activism. Daniel Ellsberg had a history of activism. So at the time that he did what he did, and people can, you know, whatever opinions people choose to come to about that, Daniel Ellsberg had a history of activism that was not about himself.
Well, he's supporting what this person...
I know. Of course he would. And I understand that. But that does not... That does not take away the responsibility, I think, of the criticisms that ought to accrue to Edward Snowden. I think his act was just atrocious.
I was not a hippie in the 70s, but it almost sounds like, you know, like the mothers and fathers used to say of their kids when they were going off the deep end. So I don't know, and I don't presume to know what was in his mind. But I think, as Michael in New Jersey said, it is important to note that this president has been taking us further and further and taking away our Fourth Amendment, is going to take away the First Amendment. How can we just stand by? And even this person is a nut who disclosed these things, but it makes us more aware that this is happening into our country.
But what is happening? This is a question.
Our freedoms have been taken away. We are being, not only on the government side, nobody's blaming the government. Every time you conduct anything on a business level, they want to know everything about you. And they have your social security. And where is this information getting gathered and collected to, and who is responsible for that? Who is going to oversee them? What democracy is overlooking the setup of, let's say, of McDonald's or any other corporation? There is no democracy in a corporation. The CEO is the head. He's the emperor. You
That's
come in
correct.
Once a year as a lowly stockholder and you say a few words, and then what? Where's the democracy?
Well, look, we have some notions, and we have to be clear about certain things. We're not, I mean, as much as we favor democracy and so forth, we cannot impose it. And we certainly it is not permitted simply because you love democracy. You don't love democracy any more than anybody else loves democracy. But what makes you there? What makes a person who, quote, loves democracy, unquote, what makes that person entitled to do things in such a way that it actually could endanger the entire nation?
How will it endanger? These people
No, that's the question. It's not how it will endanger. You love democracy. I love democracy. Now, why should your love for democracy mean that you are entitled to traipse off someplace and just kill a whole village of people in the name of democracy? And I, because I support democracy, say, I get it. And, you know, he was having a bad day. You know, the idea is that simply because you subscribe to particular ideologies does not relieve the person of the need to observe, you know, good order and to do things in a way that suggests.
Sometimes I'm afraid of that phrase, good order.
Yes,
have people who are in power use that, such as when we had the beginning of Hitler.
I understand. No. Understand what I'm saying. I think you're going to the extreme.
Okay.
I understand. You know, I understand these trigger words and all the stuff. But people should be having a grown conversation. I do not and have not said anything on this program to indicate that I identify with Adolf Hitler.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
But when people bring up those cliches, in order to keep order, we have to take away your freedoms. No.
And one of the things is that if you in fact subscribe to the notion, nothing happens in chaos. Nothing is achieved in chaos. We give blanket permission for people in the name of democracy to also do things that they consider to be opposing the order, the established order, then you have chaos.
If I see something that's wrong, do you believe in whistleblowers? Do you think that people should be protected if they see something is wrong?
This is not a whistleblower.
How is that?
A whistleblower takes a complaint public. A whistleblower does not take summary action. A whistleblower goes before a committee and makes a case public. That's what a whistleblower does.
Well,
a whistleblower doesn't decide, well, you know what, I don't like this, and I'm going to destroy this. That's not a whistleblower. That's what I'm talking about. We have to admit that we ought to be mature enough to recognize why is it that he's getting automatic support? Why is it that we're not asking him questions? Why is it now that he is free of any accountability, but it is the Obama administration that must do all the explaining?
I have to agree with Michael, and also with you partly because you say you're not a card member, holding member of the Obama Club. But Mr. Obama is not who he is.
Process. Whether we like it or not, there is a process. People elected him. People don't want him. They organize. Our system calls
Are you saying that this person did this to discredit Obama and willfully acted and openly in his mind as a racist? There's a black man in the White House, and I'm doing this because there's a black man. I don't think that is what his ideas were.
I agree with you. I'm saying, but you cannot discount the conditioning in the mind of everybody,
white, black, and polka dot, that
we live in a race-based society, and with that, we have certain notions of our power.
I agree with you, but
what I'm suggesting, Mario, is that this young man was operating within that context of an understanding of his power.
But
you can come in as a hired hand for exactly what, three or a couple of years, how many years you've been working as a hired hand, as a freelancer, And you decide that you're going to do whatever it is you're going to do. You're not accounting to anybody. I don't know that this guy has any ties to any particular group.
But then I think what I disagree with you is that you try to loosely tie an event and connect it to that little girl talking to the CEO who happens to be a black African-American. And I'm giving you a counter, which is like it happened before, about 30, what, some 12 years.
It was equally offensive then because I view that. Look,
out of order. Well, I don't know.
It was just wrong, dead wrong. That, in my view, was a kind of an expression of abuse.
Parental abuse.
Look, I was a bright kid. I was fully literate by the age of 2.
Yeah, but this has nothing to do with you
now,
and me.
No, I will tell you. In my culture, who cares? In my culture, you're great, but go do what you have to do. In my culture, you would never, ever presume as a child to place yourself on the as a teacher to the adults. You'd never do that. You'd never even think about it, and your parents wouldn't even think about it. They would never do that because it is so profoundly insulting.
I was brought up similarly. Children don't speak to elders. I agree with you. But the point is that you're trying to connect that in a difficult, sort of like a.
No, it's the same thing.
This fact that whatever happened at the McDonald's meeting. Cannot be tied and parallel and connected to what happened with this other young man, I don't know what his motives are, and I you can't connect the two together.
We don't have to know his motives. I'm saying to you that this is the crucible. This race-based society informs everybody how we behave. It shapes how everybody behaves. In a race-based society where whites are conditioned to accept their notion of power, regardless of age, they're school to accept a notion of power. I can change things if I want to, when I want to, how I want to. That is a conditioning that is born out of our race-based enculturation. And the flip side goes, when you're a black kid, I can't do this, I can't do that, and I shouldn't do that because it's not my place. That's the conditioning. So this young man, when he decided that the time had come for him to singularly take action that would throw an entire country into a tizzy, possibly even much of the world into a tizzy, for whatever reason he construes to be appropriate.
I understand.
He is not accountable to anybody. So he's not asking anybody an opinion.
Can you explain what the tizzy is and what the detrimental is? In other words, I understand the part where you're blaming him for speaking out of turn or being confrontational, racist, but what is it that his information caused as a problem to us or to the world?
For one thing, we may never know. We just heard today, for example, that several benefits had already been yielded from this program. And again, don't misunderstand me. I am not saying I believe the government hook, line, and sinker. That's not my point. My point is that there is something. What is it that we have young men like this who understand that they are operating from a position of power and embrace that because they have the right, the unilateral right to change whatever it is they want to change, do whatever it is they want to do, and that it will be okay. By a whole group of people who will come behind him and support him. And, of course, it's working out exactly that way. And now the people are saying, well, if you don't support him, it means that you're not progressive. If you don't support
him, it means
you are for the government.
You should make up your own mind and you should study the situation, evaluate as much as you can before you make any decision about anything.
Well, that's the last word, Mario, and you just had get it. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you for a nice discussion. I still love you.
I love you too. Thank you. Okay. I really appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for your spirited comments today. Michael from New York City, Sarah from Dallas, Mike from Jersey, Bill from Jersey, and Mario from New York. Thank you all for contributing to this dialogue today. And it's for grown-ups. We still end up loving each other and respecting each other. Thank you so much for listening. Coming up next is, what's coming up next? Let me see. Oh, Economic Update with Richard Wolff. And we'll be back with each other tomorrow. Please write me, if you wish, at leadstories@gmail.com or Facebook, Lead Stories with Utrice Lead. Bye-bye.